7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to Let's Get to the Door, number one video game podcast in Arlington, Texas. I'm one of your hosts this week. Bryant Wheezy Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Luco Brazzi Fortner. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, you know, same old, man, holding it down. Lovely day fucking with you as usual, brother. How you feeling? How you doing?
Oh, man, it's been a good lazy day. Nothing but I watched some movies last night and chilled, and oh, my God, you have to see Mandy. I am going to preach that movie until the end of my life. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Nicolas Cage on cocaine. That's all I'm going to say. Murdering demons. Nicolas Cage on cocaine, murdering demons.
Nicolas Cage on cocaine, being a strip club manager. Nicolas Cage on cocaine, being ghostwriter. Nick Cage on cocaine, being an astronaut. Nick Cage on cocaine, being Nick Cage.
Pretty much.
Starring Nick Cage.
I would watch about Nicolas Cage just doing cocaine and being in real life. Just walking around.
just the eyes. Look at him. Look at him. Looking at the cocaine.
Just the crazy
him
eyes.
And Sonic.
Both. Yeah, together. 100% together.
That's how we start off. I started off about 17 cocaine references out the gate. We stopped one episode without sneaking. We go back to the...
I'm just saying, right before he kills
games and hobbies,
right before he kills a demon in this movie, he says, "You are a vicious snowflake," and it just snaps his neck. It's amazing. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Was he playing Malcolm X?
No. He
gotta watch this movie.
You have to, man. Can rent it anywhere. I don't know where you rent it at. Someplace.
I told you, I watched that Hill House shit last night, man. That's what we watched that shit. I told you, man. Paul let me down. But it was definitely spooky, man. We're getting into that October season.
That's a spooky ass movie, dude. On Amazon streaming,
yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah. It's like,
that is a spooky ass.
People are so stupid in that damn movie, man. Just leave, bro. I'm saying, not now, nothing. That's what I was saying. I was like, not now, nothing gonna be up in there. As soon as that pinhead motherfucker with no pins in his head, no spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
There's a pinhead motherfucker without pinheads. Spoiler alert. But I was like, nah, come on, bro. We got to keep it moving. But anyway.
Just letting you know, there is a sequel out as well. And it's
really?
It's on Shudder. It's on Shudder. I've got access to Shudder. I'm probably going to watch that sequel tonight. It's that time of year, man. I watch nothing but horror movies.
I shudder to think that I'll watch that again. At some point, it was another documentary movie with these kids that thought they was vampires and killed their parents and shit like that. And the craziest, spookiest thing to me about that damn movie is the police had them in captivity almost and let them go. Because this spooky crackhead vampire-looking motherfucker just was talking about he ran out of gas.
What?
In the fuck? It took me 17 minutes to figure that part out. The fuck is this even a show?
What is this movie?
A fantasy one.
What is this? I've never heard of
it. What was the name of that damn movie, man? It's a documentary, though. It really happened in the kids. Yeah. Vampire Clan, I believe. Yeah. It was on Prime Video, bro. Check that shit out. And I'm telling you, like, it's a true story. And they ended up getting found in New Orleans, so I had to watch that shit a little
bit. Hell yeah, dude.
You know, my old lady on some statistic shit, man. Because we got to have a safety word in case something goes awry. If I send you a text message say blueberry pancakes, that means my toes are missing. You know what I'm talking about? That's all she watch, bro. So I've gotten drawn in a little bit, man. I don't know, bro. I'm just...
If I get a text saying blueberry pancakes, I'm calling the cops. I'm gonna send them for a wellness check. Hey, y'all need to do a wellness check. How was Retropalooza, man? Real quick before you get to that, if this is your first time joining us, we're a video game show. Usually we talk about the video games we've been playing, the news, and then break down a roundtable. This week we're doing a mini-sode. We're doing top 7 PS4 games, but you went to Retropalooza, Todd. I'm curious, man. What'd you think?
Man, you know, it was cool. This wasn't far. You know what I mean? Like, that's the great advantage to kind of being in a mindset and having this podcast and fucking with you when we talk about these things. And it got tied up. You know, the pixel art. Damn, I'm mixing it up right now.
Pixel art paintings?
I lost you there for a second. Thank you, bro. The screen blacked out on me. But yes, Pixar Pains, I saw him post about Retropalooza. So I clicked on it real quick, and I was like, oh, shit, it's in Arlington? I was like, well, damn, you know. I was kind of on the fence on whether or not I was going to even go, you know?
Yeah.
But just once I saw that they had, like, toys there, and I could potentially get, like, an original Optimus Prime or some shit, I said, okay, well, I have to check this out, of course. Plus, one more thing. Pixel Arts dude, I had to get one more painting because he had did the Mike Tyson punch out painting.
Oh, I see it behind you.
I already put it up. You know, I loved my Sonic painting, so I was like, damn, okay. That'll be cool. Plus, it was some YouTubers there that I liked that were cool. It was I got to shake hands with a Black Nerd. He's a YouTuber. He was real cool. I ended up getting there late. You already know it was a struggle bus day with the vehicle, and I had to go to the shop too. But I still ended up getting up there. I wanted to go see the Boogie character, but his line was real long. You know what I mean? And I really didn't come for that. The most important thing was to get goddamn Transformers, which I didn't think I was gonna find until like it was almost time to close up, man. After I had already got the Mike Tyson photo, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tag that shit online. He already put me online. With him, that dude is a solid motherfucker for real. You know what I'm saying? And I really appreciate his work. It stands out. You know what I'm saying? You can look it on Instagram or Facebook for it. Check it out. Check him out. He's solid folk. But right when I was walking out, I had just got the painting. I see like the original Hot Rod. I was like, damn, how much for Hot Rod? Motherfucker was like 75. Ooh. I was like, damn. It's been a long day, bro. Maybe when I come back, maybe if I get a chance to come back tomorrow. But it was really cool. I didn't really get a chance to get into the games like talking about, but it's really, you know, it's always fun. This has been a fun year with that, especially being in the area and it's so close. Like, it really basically is an excuse for my socially anxious ass to be around people that I feel comfortable in those areas. So it's a reason to get out. So it's all, and I got to see AT&T Stadium close up. I've been out here all these years. I ain't really, it's like nice out there, the Ranger Stadium and shit like that, Six Flags, you know, powerful, same-minded folks, and the honor of the motherfuckers in Florida, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's still cool to go to these things and feel all right, so, I mean, I had a good time, man. May go back tomorrow, but, yeah, bro, that was pretty much it. I think I rambled on enough. That pretty much summed up all of Retropalooza. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Did you see a Soundwave action figure with the original tape player?
I did not see the Soundwave.
I've been looking for one of those.
I saw all the other original Decepticons you could pretty much name, though, and a big Optimus Prime original, but I zoomed in on Hot Rod. I just did. Once I saw him from a distance, I was, you know, that's from the original, 1984 Transformers movie, which is still a classic. Dude, I think it was recently shown on a large screen.
It is one of my favorite animated movies of all time. Just flat out, I love that movie soundtrack
is aged. It's aged so well. It's aged like a good Tarantino movie,
dude. It's I own the soundtrack on vinyl for a reason. I mean, it's just one of those, like, they go in places that you don't expect them to go, and there was a reason for that.
That's what she said.
But there's a reason that they do it, too, is because they're going to make way for a whole new set of toys, you know? So what do they do? Spoiler alert for a movie that's 32 years old. They kill all your favorite Transformers. They kill all of them. It's a beautiful movie. I love it so much. And plus, who can forget? You've got the touch. Oh, that song.
Man. Yeah, bro.
Talking about you having a bad day, man. You put on that soundtrack. I promise your day is going to get a lot better. Anyway, we're here to talk about favorite PS4 games. Our favorite PS4 games. We took you old school last week, and we talked about our favorite Nintendo games. This week, we're taking a little new school, and we're talking about our favorite PS4 games. Before we get started, Todd, my list. I have kept stuff of God of War and Spider-Man off of this because people know how much I love them. So I went just like with the NES, just like we talked about, you know, I went a little bit deeper into the archives here and went with some more maybe unknown games. There's one huge one on here. I will say there's one big one on here. But outside of that, I left off Persona 5. So just for you, Todd, I left Persona 5 off. I'm not going to talk about that game anymore. I've got God of War and Spider-Man off. But know that those would always be my top three favorites. But let's just get started, Todd. What is your number 7?
Well, first off, the whole reason why this started off was we got to give kudos to PS4 for allowing cross-play for all those Fortnite players out there.
Yes.
So that's where this one came from in our time, because we, you know, don't do this. And since we're doing disclaimers of lists now, Bryant, without notifying us before the recording.
Sorry about that.
I, as usual, put on the list whatever the fuck I feel like, regardless that's of right. how large it is or how small, because they are my favorites and I speak it to what I dig it. And I really did have, like, even though some of them are major on this one, the normally, you know, the top 7 is kind of loose on the order. This one, the thought was part put out really in the order that I put these specific to PS4. So, yeah. My number 7 favorite games on PS4 for me personally, Assassin's Creed Origins. Not only for, oh shit, I almost died and came back to life.
Well, I'm glad you, not I'm only glad for, you pulled the Lazarus and resurrected it there.
You saw that. You saw that.
I did.
But time marker, bitch. But now, Assassin's Creed Origins, man. Not like it wasn't a flawed game. Not like it didn't have its problems. But it's really this. When we started going over this, it's kind of like a recap when I think about even the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, PS4 had been out for a while, but some of these games came out like right before, you know, whatever, and it was something that impacted me for whatever reason, and really it's just the spark of the whole series. I have a lot of hope for the series. Like, I'm excited about Odyssey coming out on the 2nd, so that's the reason why Assassin's, you know when I got this damn game, I was like, man, hell yeah. I know how other people felt about Egypt, but I just thought that was super dope. I thought the story was cool, it was smooth for me, it was fun, it was just enough fantasy where I could, you know, not get caught up so much in the trying to be ultra realistic. The animals, the train, it was a lot to the game. You know, the fighting mechanics were better than me. You could still go a full stealth route. It was a good Assassin's Creed game. And I love, you know, how they portrayed the Greece provinces and, you know, just being able to climb up to the top of the motherfucking Giza pyramids. And just backstory for those that don't know, the birth of Skip the Tutorial was discussed around Assassin's Creed Origins, yes, by the guy who named the damn show. So, like, of course, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I mean, Origins, excuse me, it's been a long day. Assassin's Creed Origins, a long good day, though. Good to be with this. Origins is my number 7, man. And I look forward to what they do with the series, and I'm thankful for, like, the little template that they threw down. So, yeah, my number 7, Assassin's
Creed. Absolutely. Excellent choice. Still one of my favorite Assassin's Creed games, if not my very favorite one. I had a blast with it. You know, spent good 60, 70 hours in that game. Pretty easy, too. Not hard to do. My number 7 is from Supergiant Games. Guys who made Bastion and last year's Pyre. It is Transistor. Number 7 is Transistor. Reason I love this game so much is not only is it beautiful, the combat is a blast. It's this weird hybrid of isometric action RPG style, except you do have the ability to essentially do turn-based by being able to plan your actions. It's a beautiful game. It's got a great story. It's got a great sci-fi element to it, sci-fi setting. It also kind of holds with me because back when I first got the PS4, me and my wife just getting on our feet on our own together, right? We had just rented a new house. I'd used Christmas money to buy the PS4, still trying to get in a place that we were financially set, which takes a while. But I had one AAA game on the thing, and it was Battlefield 4. But along came Transistor. I bought it one night, $10, $9.99 on sale. Man, just fell in love with it. Just fell in love with it. Ended up buying the soundtrack later, got a t-shirt from it. Just one of my favorite games of the last 10 years. What a beautiful game. I highly recommend it. If you haven't played it, it goes on sale all the time. It's Transistor. I definitely recommend it. Todd, what's your number six?
Transistor. I think I know that one.
It's all great. Right, it was on PS Plus.
Bro.
At one point.
Yeah, I've seen it. I didn't get a chance to play it. I did not get a chance to play that one, but I always listen to this, bro, because I fucks with you. And you have the eye of the tiger. But
it's the eye of man, the tiger.
This Sorry. One it's okay. You're forgiven.
Thank you.
We do that.
We do.
Nah, man, if you remember, okay, so this is some legit shit. I know you ain't get a chance to fuck with this at all. But this was the game that I was most excited about probably on our first episode. And that's Dragon Ball FighterZ, bro. It is legitimately one of the greatest fighting games I have ever played. And I hate that I do not have enough time to play that game. It is beautiful. It was my background on my PlayStation for quite a while until Spider-Man came out on the front one. Then that changed. And we'll talk about that one. It's called Foreshadowings, kids. Enjoy. Now,
learn your elements Dragon Ball of nature. FighterZ. Of English.
Nah, man, all jokes aside. All jokes aside, man. I mean, that one. I think that's okay for it to be on everybody's list. I think that's a great fucking game and needs to be represented in this era. To me, you know what I mean. Like you're always gonna have your classic Street Fighters. I saw Street Fighter today at Retropalooza. The kids were playing it. They also were playing Spider-Man, which was really kind of dope. They had a little setup, but yeah, bro. Like you're always gonna have your Tekkens. You're always going to have that, but the Dragon Ball Z fan in me with the authenticity and just the balance of it, that's the key. Like, I heard somebody else say that. I honestly, it was Dreamcast guy. Dreamcast guy had an Xbox One list. It was like 10, and he had Dragon Ball FighterZ on there. You know what I'm saying? And I actually watched it after I made my list. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll make my list, and then I might, you know, whatever else. And, yeah. I can definitely dig that. I can definitely see that. That's the one solid thing where, you know, I could go on and on about Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like that's a game that you could put down and pick up at any point and it's still dope.
Yeah.
For real. I really hope you get a chance to play it, man. I got to play the
beta of it and absolutely loved it. But I do want to play their full game. Yeah. I do. I want to go through the single player story.
It's different. The beta was a little bit choppy. Yeah, it you know, I got Shinran on me, bro. Like, I got to keep it true to myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, that's my number six, man. Dragon Ball FighterZ. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Yeah. My number six is a game that just came out this year, 2018. It is a indie game called Moonlighter. Moonlighter is a roguelike dungeon explorer that also invites elements of a store sim, where you have to build your own store around the things that you find within the dungeons. There's something very charming about this style of game. There's something very retro, if you will, Retropalooza like you went to today, and kind of this old school feel, but it's a hybrid between two types of games, which I always talk about that. I find hybrid versions of games interesting. Whether or not they fail or whether or not they're good, you know, usually it's ideas that come from those hybrids. Like we talked about with We Happy Few earlier this year, and even Sea of Thieves to a degree, there's always something interesting about them. Moonlighter is a successful version of a hybrid. It does what very few developers do well, and that's focus on the very good things of two different genres and put them together, making it as simple as possible as well, which I really enjoyed. The combat's beautiful. It's not complicated, but it is difficult. Outside of that, the music, the style, the art, everything about the game is just a wonderful experience. And I can sit there and I find myself, when I pull Moonlighter up on my PlayStation, hours, just hours on end of playing Moonlighter. And it's something I just lose my, I judge games by how I lose my time in them. And
yeah,
Moonlighter exactly. is a game that I lost hours to. And if I've lost hours to it, that means there's something there for me, personally. It's not everybody's bag, but I definitely recommend it. So Moonlighter is my number six. Todd, what's your number five?
Horizon Zero Dawn, man. I love that game. Great game. Good. And then, see, now the order, this is where like
the grass order under the snow
started to kind of kick in.
Grass under the snow,
my dude. This is where the order of stuff started to switch up, though. Right. This is where I had a legitimate conversation about, okay, should this one, normally I don't go back and forth with myself or anything else with that, but it was like, okay, so this one be ahead of this one and why? Right. Mm-hmm. And my next game on the list, it was directly the next game that's on the list. Like, which one should be ahead of this? Like, the top three are the top three for me because they are the top three. Fuck it. That's what that is. But this is the meat of it. I'm like, okay, why? Horizon Zero Dawn is dopeness supreme to me. Like, that's my type of game. And these are games like me and my old lady beat together. So maybe I have fond memories with that as well. Like Assassin's Creed, we did that together. You know what I'm saying? Dragon Ball Fighter, she didn't play. But Horizon Zero Dawn, I mean, she put in more hours than I did. So she was really good to have a conversation with, okay, which one we should put in front of the other one. And with Horizon Zero Dawn, it came back to me for an open world experience. The one on my list, it had the maybe, if not the least, but the second least balance as far as going to different regions and feeling like I can have fun in each region, no matter what level I'm at, or just the flow of it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It'll make a little bit more sense when I talk about my next one, because I'll make the point of why it's ahead of it and why I feel like it's ahead of it. But Horizon Zero Dawn, man, I mean, especially PS4, some of this stuff is we just getting into exclusivity. Fuck it. Like, that's part of the reason why they won a console war. It is what it is just because they have better exclusive games.
They really do.
And that's kind of how the list is going to take out. But, yeah, that's my number five.
My number five is a little bitty game starring a tiny chunk of meat trying to save a pink chunk of meat. That is, I'm just going to let that sit there for just a second. That is Super Meat Boy. Number five is Super Meat Boy. This game, I'm a huge platform. I'm a platform addict. You know that about me. We talk about that. I'm a platformer junkie. That's why Cuphead was my thing in a big way. Well, before there was Cuphead, there was Super Meat Boy, which has got not only extremely fast loading times, but the greatest thing about Super Meat Boy is once you're done with the level, you can see how many times you died in the level, and you can watch all your little guys run through the level and die exactly where you died at. It came with some great challenges, great fun. Me and my wife played it together, and it was very old school. It was a very, because it's a single player game, we played it together by passing the controller. All right, you've had two turns, now it's my turn to have two turns. And it felt very much like I was having like a sleepover with my wife, if that makes sense. Like an old school, high school, you're hanging out. Man. You know what I'm talking about? It was just a good time. You know, we ordered pizza and we'd just sit there and play Super Meat Boy for hours. Hours on end. It was just a blast. Dude. It was absolutely one of my favorite experiences. The music was wonderful. The little bonus levels were really incredible. Going back to some of those retro style games with the Game Boy Advance and Game Boy looking bonus levels and just the boss fights. The boss fights were so jacked, so cool, man. I was just extremely jazzed for it. I'm extremely excited for the sequel. I cannot wait for Super Meat Boy 2. It's going to be so much fun.
Now, that's excellent, though, bro. That's an excellent choice. And I don't even remember. I might have played it. No, I don't think I did. But I know we've talked about this before. What I respect about that game are the creators of that damn game, just from the documentary that they made about them.
Indie game, the movie.
That great. I watched that at least twice because the designer for Fez was on there, and they were just, you know, that was a whole interesting thing. Another game, I think Fez is at least 91 or 92 on Metacritic.
It's a great game. It's a fantastic game.
Right,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like, Fez, that's something I got to check out. Meat Boy, great game. But, like, I always, especially the guys that created Meat Boy, that documentary, just Fez got to, and I forgot the other game in it, but they just showed the grind of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the passion for like, the joy of making a game. And then I appreciated how they were, you know, they were rewarded for all that hard work. You know what I'm saying? Because they came out with something we still talking about now. Like, I still need to get on it, you know.
I still pull it up. I have not uninstalled it since I beat it, and you know, it's one of the few games I've ever gotten extremely far and almost completing. I thought I had platinumed the game, but I had not. I've got one more trophy to get, but I still haven't uninstalled it because I still go back to it and play it on a regular basis. When I got 10 minutes before I have to do something, I pull up Super Meat Boy. It's so quick, it's so easy, and you can just play 50 times in a row in that time span. It's really good.
I mean, this is another thing, bro. Like, some of these on these lists, like, I get it, bro. I get it. I understand why Super Meat Boy would be on your list.
Yes, sir. What's your number four?
It's the shit.
Yes, it is.
Keep it simple, man. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man and Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, that was the one I was having trouble, like, flipping. Like, okay, which one is actually better for me? Am I just a prisoner of the moment of Spider-Man? Or is Spider-Man's greatness just that great? And, you know, I've already beaten Spider-Man, but I still got something to go back to, man. I think, shout out to Wesley Morrison. Also, Wesley Morrison, random in the middle of the show, you're the $50 Best Buy winner, bro.
Boom.
Support on Anchor.
Boom.
So, you know, we do what the fuck we want to do. You know what I'm saying? Send us your information so we can get you. And I'll probably, if we need to say it again at the end, if we miss it or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Send us your email so you can get your $50 card for the, you know, the show to support. Appreciation for the support on Anchor. You know what I'm saying? You've been with us in solid. I think you were the motherfucker that completed Spider-Man at 100%. So shout out for that too. But I was going back, you know, on a mission to just clear out some space, just on a random mission, and it just still feels so good. Like at every point of that whole game, combat felt fair and good. Even in the hardest seeming part in the beginning with Fisk. And we've, you know, talked about Spider-Man to death. It's like two episodes worth of Spider-Man talk. But on the list, that's how much I respected Horizon Zero Dawn too. You know what I mean? Horizon Zero Dawn was a really fun game to me. It had its flaws. It did not do anything. It did not reinvent the wheel. It's not something, you know, spectacular. But as far as the, you know, pound for pound for my money, you know, for somebody that's just like, okay, what for pound experience, if I'm gonna spend $60 or whatever, like what's coming out, that's still a good game. Like, you can go back. I know it's on sale all the time. Like, that game, I'll probably go back and get that again because I gave a copy away to one of the coworkers or whatever and never got it back. But anyway, Spider-Man, my number four, man. What's your number four?
My number four is a remake of a classic game, classic platformer. Surprise, surprise there. It's Strider, man. I love the Strider remake.
That Strider is the shit, yeah.
It's an unsung hero of a game, in my opinion. It is one of the best remakes. It's also one of the best platformers that's come out in a long time. They did a great job with the mechanics, and it's hard. It's a difficult game, and I've played through that game twice, and that is something that nobody talks about to this day. And if you do get a chance to go play Strider or get it or pick it up, I highly recommend Strider. The originals are great. The original Strider's great, but that remake is something special. It's kind of like what they did with DuckTales Remastered. Yeah. Was just, they made an incredible game out of the source material. Just put a really good story to it. Put a good sci-fi background with it. Put some excellent boss fights. And that last boss fight, that is the second toughest last boss fight I've ever had in a platformer. The first one would be Mega Man 03 was probably the toughest boss fight I've ever had. But that one right there, Strider, just a great game. And that goes back to when PS4 first launched.
Yeah, Strider was one of the first games platformers that I played on PlayStation 4. So, I mean, Strider's a really good game. Like, I feel, I don't know, man. I'm such a Ninja Gaiden fanboy, though. It's like so much cool shit you could do with that, too. But Strider is definitely dope. The aesthetics are good on it. And, I mean, it's challenging for that type of game. Yeah. So, I can definitely dig it, bro.
Great soundtrack too.
Yeah,
fantastic soundtrack. What's your number?
Oh yeah, song? Yeah. It was. I mean, it's definitely a cool game. The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, man. Yeah.
Oh, such a classic. Yeah. Such a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, what are you?
Like, it's just like
that has to be.
That's so good.
That has to be on my top seven PS4 games, bro. Come on, man.
Like, that would definitely on, be. That would like, be on my man, list.
Bro. Yeah,
for sure.
The Witcher 3?
Yeah.
I mean, this, you have sex on a unicorn, man. Come on, man. Spoiler alert.
But I played it on Xbox, so I left it off my list.
I can dig it. Did some of these cross over just because of the era? Like, yeah. I'll put the same motherfucking game on goddamn whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just it is what it is. But nah, man.
It's Witcher also why 3, I left man, Final Fantasy Hunt. 15 off.
See, I wouldn't even know about that. That's I still it's only so many hours in a day, man.
Yeah.
Man, Nier Automata is on sale. I almost got that shit. It's a pretty good sale on PS4 right now since we're talking about
it.
Yeah, I need to get it. The Crew 2 is out. So many games, so little time. But, I mean, you already know what it is with The Witcher, man. We've discussed The Witcher as well.
100 times, man. It never gets old, though. That's the thing, is it never gets old because it's so good.
You got to keep it real with yourself, bro. You got to keep it real with yourself, man, with some of these things. Like, me leaving some of this shit off would be sacrilege. But, yeah. Nah, The Witcher 3, man, I had so much fun with it, Geralt. And especially for a game, I've said this before, it literally, I did not get into that game until like 7 hours in. It took me, I really was failing at getting into that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, I don't know if everybody says this is great. And even back to my GameStop days, man, when they first started playing The Witcher, they would try to get me on it and be like, oh, The Witcher is so great. And I'll just play everything else. You know, I'll just pick up whatever. That was the only reason. I've told this story 1,000 times. Got laid off, moved back home, grown, all that shit. I found something that I was passionate about to try to got off of motherfucking unemployment and got paid less money to work at GameStop and figure out a hustle on the side just so I could have access to games, because that's what brought me peace of mind. And that was like the first time I ever heard about The Witcher and how great it was. But like, I never played it, you know what I'm saying? So when I finally got back up on my feet and was just cool on some regular shit and, you know, paying attention to my hobby, I said, okay, let me get a Witcher 3 a chance. And after I actually beat it, that was one of the saddest feelings I had. I was like, damn, as far as just like, oh, it's over with. That was like a fantastical adventure, like the never ending story. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, I had a good time with that game, and it will always stand with me. There's so many stories. It's so immersive. It's so big. It was the daylight cycle, the meditation portions of it, the just the side quest greatness. You know what I'm saying? It's an all time great for me, so it has to be on my list, bro. That's my number 3, The Witcher 3. Didn't do that on purpose.
Perfect, perfect. My number 3 is a co-op game. I've talked about this game before on this show. I talked about the sequel recently. I had so much fun playing this with my wife. Number 3 is Overcooked. It's just, when you can take a couch co-op experience in 2018, not only make it accessible, but make it fun. And make it a blast. And make it enjoyable for the two people involved. And not make it frustrating when you're playing with another person. Because I've played other couch co-ops with the wife. I mean, we played Yoshi's Woolly World, or we played Donkey Kong, or Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. But Overcooked was just a whole different experience. It was just, you know, wonderfully charming, great music, excellent aesthetic appeal, and it was challenging. The game is a challenging game. The first one is. My big downgrade for the second one was that it was not as challenging as the first one. But Overcooked, that is one that I will always, always go back and play. In fact, we recently went back and started playing the expansion packs on it, just because of how much fun it was. Overcooked is my number 3. Todd, what's your number 2?
It's dope. I'm going to keep these short because there's not a lot to talk about on these. My number 2 is GTA 5.
Classic, dude.
Done.
Classic. So, what are you going to say? GTA 5 is just the epitome of just amazingness. Just an amazing game. It's one of my favorites. I just recently purchased it on the PS4. I played it on the PS3. Just a freaking classic, man.
I mean, now hold on now. Now it may bring on video game Ragnarok with that and the power of 2K. But as far as just PS4 game experiences and the perfectly balanced open world game, Rockstar, do your thing. You know, I almost want to put Red Dead Redemption 2 in an honorable mention, but the game ain't came out yet, so that's not even fair to even mention that one. Got to see how that shit turns out. Hopefully it did not bring on video game Ragnarok, but as far as PS4-ness, GTA 5, even though I did like GTA 4, a lot of people kind of shit on GTA 4. GTA 4 still had a dope soundtrack to me, and the Russian dude didn't bother me. GTA 5 with the 3 different characters and the way you could swap them out, man. And I mean, online, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just talking about the straight game itself. Gotta be number 2 on my motherfucking PS4 list, bro.
100% agree. My number 2 is one of my favorite platformers of all time. It's in the early days of the PS4 cycle. It was just an amazingly fun, colorful experience. And that was Rayman Legends. just, I love cartoons.
Great choice.
We've talked about that, how much I love cartoons. With Rayman Legends, before Cuphead came out, I felt like I was playing in a cartoon. Like, it just, the way the game was challenging enough, but fun and charming, and how you could switch between the characters, and even the multiplayer mode. Nobody talked about the multiplayer mode, but playing soccer against other people using the Rayman mechanics was not only frustrating, but it was hilarious just to try to play that game. So much fun. Rayman Legends, if you haven't gotten it, that thing's constantly on sale, constantly being given away. I know it's on Nintendo Switch now. They've got it on Switch. It's great. It's a fantastic game. I highly recommend it. Like, just one of the best.
Great game for all ages, bro. Great choice, man. That's like one of my old lady's favorite platforms, bro. But in, like, it's a great game. And great game for all ages, from like young to old. Great choice.
Absolutely. What's your number one, sir?
God of War.
I knew it. Simple. It's gotta be. It'd be my number one.
Well, I mean, and it has, if we're gonna talk about PS4, and we're talking about this whole thing was this list this time, the timing of it is because of the crossplay, and everybody's rumoring it's starting to be the end of the PlayStation 4 platform and turning into the PlayStation 5 land. God of War, I'm always pay reverence to, because that's my shit. Tattooed up. That's one of the ones on there. Reference that again. And just like in the previous platforms, they always kind of give us a God of War to sail away, and they rebooted the whole storyline. You see the ash on the skin. You know what I'm saying? If you want to talk about the staple of a console, the soul, you know, it's still, to me, God of War. That's you know, Santa Monica Studios been doing a thing with that, man, and I have to give them kudos. I told you, man, it's still, for me, when he went got the Blaze of Chaos again, it did it for me. You know what I'm saying? I gotta keep the sports games off this list. That was my one caveat. You know what I mean? I'm finna go try to get a Madden game in after this, man. But that's my God of War. It's my number one, bro. What you got for your number one, brother?
Man, my number one is, it's an Insomniac game. So you talked about Spider-Man earlier. This is an Insomniac game. It's one of my favorite series of all time. I don't think this game got enough credit. I don't think this game got enough recognition. Maybe it was the movie that came out alongside it that kind of turned people off of it. But it was the soft reboot of Ratchet & Clank. My number one is the soft reboot. It's a beautiful game. It's one of the best looking games on the PS4. One of the best looking games on the PS4. It will stand next to, it's not as good as God of War or Spider-Man 4, but when it came out, it was the best looking game on the PS4. It's just a blast. It's got the same type of humor, which is a lot of very subversive and very subtle adult humor in that cartoon world, which we've talked about. I love cartoons from the 90s because of all the adult humor that could be found in them. And that's exactly what Insomniac did with Ratchet & Clank. They took the idea of, let's make a game that's an action platformer, but let's stylize the plot and stylize the characters basically after 90s cartoons. And they did an amazing job of that. I mean, you think about really what you're getting with that game. It's challenging, it's fun, it's cinematic. The last sequence is just one of the best last sequences I've ever played in a game. And it's one of my favorite games of all time. I've played it three times. Three times to completion. And that's pretty rare for me, for most games, is playing them all the way through. Forget twice. Three times, it's unheard of. But it is absolutely one of my favorite games of all time, and will always be one of my favorite series of all time as well. I love the Ratchet & Clank series. And I'm a sucker for the movie because I'm a fan. The movie's not great, but I like the movie because I'm a fan of the series. So I will always kind of go to bed.
Sylvester Stallone is in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Sylvester Stallone is in that. The movie wasn't bad. And
John Goodman. And
look, man, great. Once again, great choice for number one. And if you want to tie the Spider-Man to it, man, you don't have Spider-Man without Ratchet & Clank. So yeah, for you to pay homage to Ratchet & Clank, because that really is a fun game. Like, once again, I got through it one time. I think my old lady got through that one twice. That's her shit. And that's how I got her to play Spider-Man, because she was just like, I don't even want to play Spider-Man. I was like, the people that made Ratchet & Clank are the ones that made Spider-Man. She was like, oh, okay, I'll try it. So, like, they grandfathered in the gadgetry stuff. So that's a great fucking choice, man. You got some honorable mentions on your list?
Man, of course I do. Like I said, these were ones that were deep cuts. But of course, God of War, Spider-Man, the Uncharted series, Grand Theft Auto 5, Nier Automata, Persona 5, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Last of Us, the remake, Fallout 4, even to a degree, though I wasn't as big of a fan as most people were. Monster Hunter World, for sure. Neo, the Tomb Raider games, Final Fantasy 15, Last Guardian. I mean, all of those, man. Wolfenstein, 1 and 2. I mean, definitely just one of those things where, you know, there's so many good things on the PS4. And of course, I would fail if I did not mention Overwatch, as that's where I primarily play.
Yeah, that's your shit.
I love Overwatch. Go through cycles on it, for sure. What about you, man? You got any honorable mentions?
Yeah, you already said one. I got to say again, Last of Us Remastered. You know, that one crossed over. Metal Gear 5, Phantom Pain. That was hard for me not to put on a list with Konami. That was just, you know. Bloodborne. I just don't like sadistic games, and I really can't fuck with it like that. But I will definitely respect the... that's a game that I got on there that I'm like, okay, one day I really, really got to sit down and fuck with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, to try to get, I can't get far in it. But also Shadow of the Colossus, them remaking that, the only gripe I ever have with that game, it's a fucking masterpiece, but I just cannot get the controls ever. Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, Dark Souls, another, you know, that's the original sadisticness of it. Persona 5, because I knew you, I had a feeling that you was going to do that. Skyrim, just because I'm going to put Skyrim on fucking anything that touched me. And Batman Arkham Knight, even though it's not really my favorite Batman game, it was kind of the PS4-ness of it, even though the Batmobile, they kind of took it a little bit too far on there. But again, you already said Uncharted 4, Naughty Dog did they thing, bro. And the Yakuza series is on there, yet another series that I really need to try to get into. But, you know, just a little bit of experience I had with that, I got to put that shit on there just to represent specific for how to play PlayStation 4 was pushing it, brother. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got, bro.
That'll work. That's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one podcast in Arlington, Texas this week. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Twitter at @STT_pod. Remember, Wesley, go ahead and send us an email at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com with your information, as you are the winner this week. You can also find us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. You can catch us on Instagram at @skipthetutorialpod as well. And if you agree or disagree with our opinions, feel free to send us an email. Let us know. Also, we have a Discord server going. The Discord, if you want to know where to access that, hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook. Got some guys in the Discord. They're really cool. Anything else, Todd, that I'm missing?
You gonna see Venom next week or no?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. PG-13. PG-13. I'm still like, I don't know. PG-13, I know, man. Irritates me.
Tom Hardy, pretty dope. Oh yeah, check out the Carter 5 Mona Lisa with Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
That shit's dope. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got, though, man. It's been a pleasure, as usual, man, fucking with you and the folks, bro.
Yes, sir. And as we always do, before we sign off, stay humble.
Cambodia.